Sewer District. This is a continuation of what we've been doing for the last 7 years, and this is to make it official. So just some refresher, some reminders of why we're doing this. This is a standard practice in the industry. It was recommended, and I have an endorsement letter from the consultant Municipal Financial Service Group of what we're doing, and this is a good approach for our users. This is becomes a standardization between our customers and then our economies of scale, so that we're able to spread the cost over multiple users. When we used to have small districts, they would have to absorb any kind of cost, and there could have been rate shock, and that's where the rate and fee stabilization comes in. So if we do this and we're looking long term, this will help stabilize and be able to help with any major improvements that might occur in our districts. And this also internally helps with our permitting process. So over the years, I showed this chart before, you can see over time the growth in our districts. And every time you see a little blur pop up in orange, that was an individual district. So this started in 1972, and here we are in 2016, moving into the 2017 budget. And you can see over time how we've grown, and many of the districts are right next to each other, sharing that same infrastructure to get to that treatment plant. And then the very last one, you'll see where we also have some growth, so that green in there shows you where we plan on going in the near future. So to tie that all together, this is one of the projects that is it we're currently working on, and also in the budget that we will discuss. This is the transmission line. You'll see a red line, and you'll see blue specks. So the blue are two treatment plants, and you can see that this one line is connecting our two treatment plants. So where we used to be segregated with our connection fees, right now we're going to be sharing that capacity and that treatment among the two. So here is our timeline where we started. We started back in 2010. We had 23 funds, multiple service charges, multiple connection fees, and here we are about to propose the 2017 budget, one fund, one service charge, and one connection fee for our county-owned operations, our own plants. So there's a big difference between where we started 7 years ago and where we are today. So just a timeline. Last fall, you had approved moving forward with combining the districts. We posted notices in four places in every of those individual districts. So there was at least 95 postings throughout the county. We created a web page that had those postings and the resolution. We advertised in two papers for 2 weeks. My phone number was plastered in the paper, the website, 95 postings. I was quite a popular person for the last 2 weeks. Made me a little nervous, but I only received 7 phone calls out of all of those postings. And just to go on the record, I summarized those questions, put them up here so that you can see how I answered the questions, that maybe questions that you have. One was Gulf Village. That's a separate district. They don't get billed a service charge the way their agreement is. They're not serviced by us. Will this continue? Yes, they still will not get charged. This will not affect them. My district doesn't have assessment rates. So as we pay off the debt of those assessment districts, they're not going to pay. Just because they're unified, they're not going to pick up a debt of another district. So just want to reassure them. There was 2 calls that there was a sign near their property, and they want to know if they were getting sewer, and if not, how do they get sewer? So I passed them on to Mr. John Ashman. Another one was, were my roads going to be torn up because of the change? It has nothing to do with any kind of infrastructure. This is just an administrative change. How does this affect any future districts? So any future districts will be part of the Unified Sewer District, but you will continue to have your own financing to get to that district. So in order to build the district to get to the Unified, you would still be responsible individually to get to that district, and the rest of the district would not absorb those costs. And will my quarterly bill be going up as a result of this? And the answer is no. We've been doing this since 2007 to unify it, to get to one rate, and we have a great news when we present the budget as a result of this. So no, the service rates are not changing. So today's step is to adopt the resolution to consolidate the individual sewer districts, and then as a result, we've been working towards the service charge, and now this will help us with the connection fees, where we can combine them. So that means the large improvements now can be divided equally among all the users, and there will be no rate shock. So at this time, I have a resolution for your adoption.
Please read the resolution.
Okay. I have a motion to adopt a resolution entitled A Consolidation of the Angola Neck, Bethany Beach, South Bethany, Fenwick Island, Johnson's Corner, Gulf Village, Henlopen Acres, Blades, Ellendale, Woodlands of Millsboro, Long Neck, Holtz Landing, Dagsboro, Frankfurt, Miller Creek, Bayview Estates, Sea Country Estates, South Ocean View, Oak Orchard, Cedar Neck, Millville, North Bethany, Ocean View, Dewey Beach, and West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer Districts into a single Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for all this. I know it's been a while getting here. And I sort of want to recognize Councilman Cole, who's a big mover of doing this. But it does make sense. So I think we're all glad we're there. It's been a long process and a lot of work on you and your staff, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Yep. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings. Council and the public may be curious as to why we did the Unified Sewer District Resolution first. Well, we had to have that determination made before we could determine what direction the FY17 budget presentation would take. We guessed right, so we are ready to proceed with the fiscal year 2017 budget presentation. Council has a book at your dais, which is our complete budget proposal. This information will be available for the public immediately following this presentation, if not currently. I will paraphrase our budget letter, and then we'll head down to the floor to make our presentation and introduction of this year's budget. Mr. President, members of Council, as required by Title IX, Chapter 70, Section 7003D5 of the Delaware Code, I respectfully submit the proposed annual operating budget for Sussex County for fiscal year 2017. The FY 2017 proposed budget was developed by a budget team consisting of County Administrator, the Finance Director, and the Deputy Finance Director. This recommended budget was developed after receiving individual requests from each county department and meeting with the respective directors to discuss their needs. We greatly appreciate the efforts of the directors and their staff in assisting us in developing this budget. Many of them have joined us here today in chambers. Thanks to the county's leadership and this team's conservative approach, the county will continue without raising taxes for another year. The fiscal 2017 budget is consistent with FY16, to which we are seeing continued growth in the building sector. Revenues from the housing sector are projected to increase by 7% over last year. The county's largest revenue source, the realty transfer tax, is expected to climb to over $20 million for the third year in a row. Nonetheless, we continue to take a very conservative approach and developed a budget that remains below our predicted taxable assessments because our expenses must remain at a sustainable level. As a result, we are forecasting budgeted revenues to increase a modest 3%. While the RTT trajectory is expected to continue to climb for a fourth year in a row, RTT is only budgeted at $19 million, or 80% of projection. This budget represents a collaborative effort among the budget team and department heads. Knowing that our revenues are showing a minimum increase, departments prioritize their expenditures to ensure that expenses were in line with their goals and objectives. The department's objectives are listed throughout this document, and I want to personally thank everyone for their understanding of the challenges we face in developing this balanced budget. I also want to applaud County Council for its leadership and continued fiscal responsibility, which have helped build a strong foundation that has allowed this government to continue to live within its means. Sussex County's economy is trending in a positive direction, and while I am optimistic about the county's future, I believe we must remain cautious as we move forward. This philosophy governed the decisions we made in developing this year's budget. The positive trends have allowed the county to respond to the calls for additional services while focusing on the areas of greatest need. We, however, continue to move forward at a very deliberate pace to ensure we serve the citizens of this great county while fulfilling our fiduciary duty to them. Now, if you will, allow me to move down and make our formal presentation. Okay, so we're going to jump into the PowerPoint presentation, which will outline specifics in this year's proposed budget. This is the first year in the county's history where we are utilizing our new chamber technology so that the public is able to follow along with the proposed budget to see in real time what is being proposed by staff. When we develop the budget each year, it's also a good time to reflect on the current year's budget and the accomplishments that have taken place, and it's also a great time to acknowledge our staff and all the hard work that they put in on a day-to-day basis to see the priorities listed in the budget and the accomplishments that we have been able to make in a year's time. Some of those accomplishments are listed on the next few slides, and I will go through them. This year, we added the largest amount of assessment improvements, $112 million, since the year 2007. We began the implementation of the CAMA system. As you recall, the council made that investment last year, which will take our paper-driven appraisal process into the technology of the future, which allows all of the appraisal process to be done through an electronic interface. With our inspectors on site using tablets to the information processed and delivered right here in this building that will then develop a tax bill for each property. In addition, it will scan and memorialize electronically all the tax records that we have, over 100,000 individual property records that are currently in paper form. Community development and housing assisted over 250 households with housing repairs through our emergency repair fund and our community development program, a program that this council supports strongly and see the efforts put forth in the community. It's also something that we are recommending an increase in funding for this year at the council's request. The Constable's Office began using technology to improve the accuracy and timely corrections of violations. We are now able to print violations on site and provide that to the property owner so that in the hope that we have the corrections take place in a quicker means. We saved $120,000 in workers' compensation claims through case management and reduced our lost work days by 38%. This is an item that we were lax in before, and with the proper staff and with the proper attention, we are able to make those improvements. That's good because it saves us money and it also keeps our employees working. We saved over $23,000 by doing Medicare prescription reporting in-house. Kudos to our HR and finance department for processing those. We answered 11% more EMS calls without additional personnel. We answered 113,509 calls this year. That's a 33% increase over the last 10 years.
How many is that per day?
How many is that per day?
Gina, please.
Roughly 250 to 300.
Director Thomas says 250 to 300.
And I thought that'd be interesting.
I'm sure that peaks during the height of the summer season. And it's important to note that one of the hallmarks of this year's budget is our increased funding for public safety, which you will see. Moving on to department accomplishments, particularly tied to the housing sector and the development activity that's taking place in the county. Our engineering department kept up with a very high level of activity this year, 30,160 utility locates. Anytime somebody calls in a missed utility locate, the county goes out and locates our sewer. 1,792 utility connection inspections, generating just under $1 million in inspection fees. That's for our road inspections and sewer inspections. 229 after-hour emergency calls in 12 district annexations.
Council's aware that we completed the Georgetown Fiber Ring this year. That was a significant investment by this council to connect our critical assets here in town between the West Complex, this building, and our facilities out to the airport and the EOC, providing a fiber backbone for service. In addition, that provided a fiber ring to the town of Georgetown and allowed both public and private sectors to tap into that increased and enhanced service. We announced that the Mapping and Addressing Department obtained 96% match rate this year for our 911 addressing. That's a critical benchmark to be over 95%, and we finally obtained that after years of work. Our Planning and Zoning Office has processed 19 changes of zone, 35 conditional uses, 10 subdivisions, and the Board of Adjustment has heard thus far 155 applications. Okay, moving on to today's recommendations and highlights. I can announce to you that the county will not change its property tax rate or general fund fees. For another year, there will be no increases in county taxes.
That should be an applause.
In addition, we will have no increase in the sewer and water service charges. We're projecting an EDU sewer growth of 2.1%. There's a net increase of full-time staffing levels by only 1%. Now, I need to clarify that because...
1% or 1%?
Excuse me, 1 position. Don't.
We're listening.
Thank you. A net increase of full-time staffing by 1 position. I need to clarify that because you will see on the next few slides that we are asking to hire new positions, but due to attrition and transfers, the net result of that is only 1 position this year. General fund is up $1.5 million, or 2.8%. As I said before, one of the hallmarks of this budget is our increase in public safety funding. We are increasing our public safety staff, including our EMS personnel, as well as our EOC 911 dispatchers, by 5 positions, and I'll go into details in a minute. Total increase in the county-operated public safety is $1.4 million. You'll see in this proposal an increase in public safety grants of $217,000. That includes a $100,000 increase in our fire and ambulance services, bringing that to a total of $3.5 million in total distribution. Our local law enforcement grants for our county towns will be $575,000 this year, and our contract with the state police is increasing to $2.2 million, which is a $117,000 increase over last year for the 44 additional state troopers located here in Sussex County. Our total library funding is projected to be $5.2 million, and our governmental capital plan, without using general fund debt, is $11.3 million, utilizing our philosophy as pay as you go. The bulk of that is 36% in our airport and 28% in public safety, which we will give more details later that include the continued path forward of buying land and building paramedic stations that we own, moving away from our leases. One of the highlights to this year's budget is our personnel. This slide will give some details. Healthcare insurance costs are stable for the county, although there are healthcare costs going up. We are predicting a stable cost this year with no increases. That doesn't mean that healthcare doesn't cost the county. Healthcare costs us $8.5 million, roughly $16,000 per employee. But we are not recommending any changes to the cost passed on to our employees, which I think is a wonderful decision considering how other municipalities are having to deal with the increase in healthcare costs, and many of those are being passed on to their employees to directly pay for those increases. In the pension world, we are continuing with 25% of gross salaries for our contributions, bringing that to $5.7 million. We are continuing our policy of new hires contributing 3% to their pension. Our holidays remain the same with 13 paid holidays, 2 floating holidays this year. We are recommending a 1% COLA which reflects the current inflation trend for this marketplace. That will cost us $234,000. And there are merits contained in this budget to employees that that do not have any demerits contained in their personnel file, and based on their performance reviews, they will qualify for a merit increase. We referenced workforce earlier. Looking back, our workforce has continued to be down 10%, 52 positions since 2009. And again, that's a direct tribute to county staff to be able to step up and answer the call for the services that we provide, doing so through cross-training and the additional tools that this county has provided them, this council has paid for, that has improved our efficiency and effectiveness. The new hires contained in this budget include our community development rehab specialist. We currently have an excellent employee that we'd like to move from part-time to full-time. That's a direct result also of the increased funding in that program where we are making repair work and administering those repairs to over 100 different properties. Our constable's office, I think many of us have seen the great work that our new constable is doing and the impact that he's having. He and staff continue to really exceed our expectations. However, we are in the grass growing season where property maintenance becomes an issue, and he is requesting a part-time seasonal staff person to address the increased call volume that he will see in this season where property maintenance becomes a heightened awareness and issue. I mentioned our investment into public safety. And this year, we are requesting funding for a deputy director in the paramedics department, as well as two additional paramedics to field our Medic 110. Recall, that is our power unit that operates on the western side of Sussex County, which is the highest call volume area for the county, and is referred to as Medic 110. To continue to adequately staff that, we are recommending two new paramedics. And we are also recommending two dispatchers in the 911 center to work the shift from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., which is when we see the additional call volume go up, to be able to handle that very critical service that we provide. In addition, there is a youth services librarian in the library administration budget and a planning and zoning sign inspector. We anticipate the council to act on the pending sign ordinance, and as a result of that would anticipate the need for an additional staff person for the enforcement of those new rules and regulations. Okay, to actually get into the numbers and specifics, I'm going to ask our finance director to come up and go into the budget summary. Ms. Jennings?
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. This first table shows all of our funds and what the result is when you combine all those funds. So our general fund is up 2.8%, $1.5 million. And if you heard Mr. Lawson, we were talking about public safety. And if you combine our internal public safety and the external grants that we give, that totals $1.6 million. So that increase is generated by the increase in public safety. Our capital projects, our general fund, we'll go into more detail of what is contained in there, but that is an increase of $2.6 million, and this ebb and flows depending on the projects that we are tackling in that year. Water and sewer fund is relatively flat. They're seeing an increase of 1% of $385,000. We are seeing an increase in customers and EDUs, which is supporting that growth. The capital projects, water and sewer, again, this is project driven. You'll see that the largest one is that the line that I talked about in the unified presentation for pump station 210. And then that's showing a decrease of $8.7 million. And then our pension fund is the fund where our pensioners get paid from directly. So we're seeing a $350,000 increase there. So when you net everything together, we are seeing a decrease in our budget of $3.8 million or 3.1%. So So moving on to the details of the general fund, some of which is reiterating what we talked about. There's no fee, no tax increases. The total budget, again, is up 2.8%. Our goal every year is to make sure that we do not increase our budget more than the assessments in our tax base. So our tax base had increased 3%. So we try to keep that percentage consistent when we look at what we can sustain in the future. So 2.8 is less than the 3%. We are not using any savings to cover any operational expenses. Again, this is for sustainability purposes. Our building related revenues are increasing $591,000. That's between a 7% and 8% increase. And just though we're seeing $591,000 increase, you have to remember that what we budget in 2017 is about 80% to 85% of what we project. Just in case if the economy doesn't continue to improve, we're able to support our operations without adding those extra revenues and expenses. Moving on to the funding sources. So this pie chart, really transfer tax, just like it was in previous years, is our largest funding source. This is 35% or $19 million. Last year it was $16.7 million. That's a $2.3 million increase. As we increase public safety, we use realty transfer tax for public safety. The next largest is property tax at $16 million, which is the library tax and the county tax. And the next largest is the charges for services, which is the permit fees, is $10.6 million. Okay, we keep an eye on realty transfer tax since it is our largest revenue source. And you can see in 2006, it had peaked at $35.3 million. And it had gone down to 13.1. Since 2010, it has increased every year. We are projecting 23.2 million, but we are budgeting at $19 million. What we plan on doing with the money that was collected over 19 million, if the economy continues to improve in Sussex, is to move that money to the Capital Projects Fund. This will help because we have about $12 million in cash sitting there right now. We have $11 million in the budget. If you look at our five-year plan, it's $23 million. So if we want to continue not to have general fund debt, we need to make sure that we continue to look towards the future and fund that fund. And this is how we propose to do it. The general fund expenditures. Our largest expenditure is public safety, which is made up of paramedics and emergency preparedness, which is 33%. There is, again, public safety and grant and aid that we will discuss. The next largest is general government, and these are IT, HR, finance, the general departments. The grant and aid is the next largest at $9.8 million, and the next slide I'll go into more details on the grant and aid program. So as I stated, this is a $9.8 million program. The largest piece is public safety at $6.3 million, and it's made up of three groups. We have the fire and ambulance services, which is $3.5 million, which is up $100,000 from the previous year. The Delaware State Police contract, $2.2 million, and the local law enforcement through the towns at $575,000. The next largest, at $2.3 million, is a library. These are the 11 independent libraries. We have our three owned libraries that we support, and then also that we give funding to the 11 independents. The next one is community assistance at $922,000. This includes multiple items such as the Community Development Housing Repair Fund, the emergency housing that we'll go into detail, the $35,000 per county council district, and the Human Service Grant Program of $200,000. The agriculture and drainage is where we partner with the Conservation District and the University of Delaware Ag Program. Okay, moving on to the county tax dollar breakdown. So what this does is takes the pie chart that talks about all of our expenses and it backs out any support that we get for our services. So where we receive about 30% from the state of Delaware for our paramedics, that takes that out. So this is what is left, what's spent with the county tax dollar. This would be property tax and really transfer tax. And you can see the largest is public safety at 57 cents, which is an increase over last year. When I showed this chart, it was 54 cents. So we are seeing a 3 cent increase on where our dollar is spent. Now getting into public safety and why it's so important that we continue to look at that and try to meet the demands that we're seeing in the county. So we have two areas where we're tracking statistics. We have the paramedic, the emergency medical services, and the dispatching center. So for the emergency medical services, we have three statistics: the incident responses, the incidents, and patients. And you can see that they've increased over from 2001 to 2015. If I look at the 10 years since 2005, we are seeing a 42% increase in incidences and patients. There is a 60% increase in incident responses, and there is a big spike over the last year, which was 11% over the year before. If you look at our 911 calls, you can see a similar increase of the 33%, or 28,000 more calls that we are receiving over a 10-year period. This next slide is, it shows what our emergency medical services group does. They track all their calls, where's the demand. You'll see the bright red is the high demand areas. The plus signs are where our emergency, where our stations are located. Currently, over on the western side, Seaford's is a hybrid model where we are covering with overtime and other medics from other stations, things like that. We feel the demand is high enough at this point that we need to increase the staffing in that area to two more street medics over there. So moving on to the public safety agencies that we partner with. Again, I discussed the Delaware State Police, local law enforcement, and fire. You'll see that in the budget is $6.3 million. That's up from the $6 million in 2016. If you look at the chart where there's a trend line that you can see, it continues to increase. 2015, we had some revenues over expenditures and felt that it was best spent in public safety is where it's needed. So they had gotten an increase over what we normally would put in the budget. 2016 is projected, and that includes what we expect for the building permit fees. So there is a little bit of an increase over 2017 since we budget only 80 to 85% of those fees. So I would expect at the end of the year of 2017, it'll be very level or if not more than 2016. Moving on to community development. And the pictures on the right are houses that they've, some of the houses that they worked on the last year, the before and after pictures. And they only use funding for owner-occupied houses. What is important to notice here, as most of this is federal funding or state funding, the local tax dollar supports 12% of this program, which is the $275,000. Another funding that the council has given, and we're requesting an increase this year, is the Emergency Housing Fund. We normally give $100,000, we're requesting $150,000. There's also $10,000 in for Code Purple and $5,000 for community infrastructure in there as well. So this has been a very helpful program. It's directed to households with no running water, no heat, accessibility needs, leaking roofs, and other plumbing and electrical needs. You'll see the statistics to the left. They show that they've been able to complete 54 repairs to households. Last year, it was by the end of the year, it was 111. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Kathy Roth to talk about the general fund and the enterprise fund.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings. I'm going to first cover the general fund capital expenditures. Okay, like was previously stated, we have $11.2 million this year in this fund. Some of the large projects, again, are the medic stations at $1 million. We have Station 104, which is a new building. Station 103 is for land acquisition, and Station 108 will be an additional garage bay to house the unit there. We also have $1.6 million in for a fiber ring throughout the county, but that is only going to be spent if we get matching funds from the state. The maintenance building at $1.5 million, this will combine all our three vehicle garages into one unit. For safety reasons, it makes more sense, as well as efficiency. Also, this building will house our EMS special ops equipment that is currently being housed at a rented facility. We also have $450,000 in for building and grounds improvements, which includes finishing up this building as well as starting on the West Complex. Also in this budget is over $4 million for our industrial air park. Some of these are going to runway improvements, taxiway improvements, land acquisition, stormwater improvements, as well as some building improvements. There's also $1.4 million in this budget for a mobile command unit. This is mainly being funded through federal money. There's also money in here for EOC AV upgrades. Now I'm going to cover the enterprise fund. Enterprise Fund is actually our water and sewer utilities. These are just some of the highlights. This budget will increase 1% or $386,000. This includes 4 wastewater treatment plants, 865 miles of sewer pipe, 487 pumps, as well as our water system, which includes a water tower. The increase, again, is 2.1% for the EDUs, or 1,400 EDUs. Again, service charges will not increase. This is our 7th year, as was presented earlier, and our connection fees will also be unified, and we will continue our 100-foot cap for assessments. This chart here just shows our growth over the last 5 years for EDUs. I'm sorry, EDUs are what we bill customers for services. It's a unit of measure. Again, we're up 7,200 for over 5 years, almost 12%. Our connection fees. Again, these are one-time fees that new users pay to connect to our services. We are looking, you'll see the $5,775 will be for most of our users. There is some exception with Blades and Ellendale's. These are based on those municipalities where they pump to. So those rates will remain the same as last year, though. Our sewer expense summary this year. Actually, it's only up $119,000 for the whole sewer, which is less than 1%. There is a decrease in maintenance operations by 2%. This is mainly due to a study that was done last year to inland bays. Also, capital expenditures increased 8.5% or $435,000. Our debt expense will decrease 1.3% or $453,000. I'll go into that a little bit later. These pictures at the bottom are just some of our major capital improvements that we'll be doing this year. Most of them are for old pump stations and stuff that need to be rehabbed. Again, these are assessment fees, and you'll see there West Rehoboth will decrease this year. They have one final loan payment on one of their loans. They still have other debt out there, but that is why their rate will decrease. So as these loans are paid off in the districts, they will continue to decrease. Our water fund, which is Dewey Water, the total there is $1.4 million. These expenses are up $266,000. Majority of that, we're doing some improvements over there for some water connections and upgrading some meter pits of $195,000. And rather than doing a spike for 1 year, we have some surplus funds that we're using to pay for those expenses this year. So the rate remains the same at $305.76. That's per year. Our enterprise capital, again, is $9.5 million. These are large, multi-year capital projects. The main one there is our pump station 210 at $6.1 million. There's also $1.5 million in expansion areas, which includes the Beaver Dam, the Concord Road, and Golo North expansion. Again, $6.2 million of this is actually being paid for with connection fees, and then $3.2 is federal and state funding, either grant or loan. And our 5-year capital, which was kind of touched on a little bit by Mrs. Jennings earlier, we have 149,000, $49 million in there for expenses for the next 5 years. $23.3 million of that is for non-water and sewer, and $126 million of that is for water and sewer projects. Just one interesting note on that is 26% of the non-water and sewer will be funded by general or governmental units, either state or federal. And actually, 61% we anticipate federal or state grant or loan for that as well. With that, that concludes our presentation for today. Just so everybody is aware, there is a public hearing for June 21st, which we will take public comment. We also take comment on our webpage. And all this information that was given out to council today will be on our webpage for viewing. Should be there now or shortly. Thank you.
Okay, Council, that is the conclusion of our formal presentation. I would ask Ms. Jennings to join me to answer all the hard questions, and if you have any questions of us, please.
Questions, Nicole?
Yeah, I got a couple here. As I was listening, when you talked about the workforce and you were talking about all the increased activity, do you feel comfortable that we're going to have enough people in the engineering department? Because they're tied so much to development. I saw permits were up. Are we pretty good shape there?
We are, and recall that the request for more personnel was driven by the directors in the individual departments as well as their division leaders. We feel strongly comfortable that we can cover the level of activity we're seeing right now with our current employee level.
There's a cap on when we get the building permits for fire service, the fee that we collect, and there's a cap on that. What is that cap currently?
So we collect 0.25%, and then it's up to $950,000 that gets distributed equally. Okay. After that $950,000, it's based off a percentage of how many building permits were pulled in each district.
So the money, we wait till we get $950,000, and then correct. After that it goes to the district that's feeling the growth.
That's correct, over the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to discuss that further, to talk about maybe adjusting that. We've not adjusted that, in my opinion, bring it down so that we could maybe direct more of the building permit impact on those districts. They would get more of that money.
Okay.
That was given to us by the fire service themselves.
That's correct.
That's something the county did. That's what the fire service has.
I understand that.
We deal with the majority of the fire service.
When it was set up, we set it year to year.
We would county. Set it based off the recommendation right. Came from the fire service.
I understand that, Mike. I understand they make recommendations, but we still have the ability to set it. We don't have to. They're not dictating us through the recommendation that we have to follow.
I just
want to put that out there because we are feeling a lot of concerns from different units, fire service or fire companies that are impacted differently and are asking for more funding. And this is an area that we collect, building permit, and there's a fee associated with it. Mm-hmm. And when you see a lot of activity in a certain fire district, that means they're feeling, different impacts on their stuff. So anyway, just a thought that I'd like to bring up to the council on that, because it hasn't been adjusted much, and I know we get recommendation mics, so I know all that stuff. Cutting the grass, we get these seasonal guys. Any thoughts of privatizing that maybe? Yeah, just putting it out for contract and bid every season and get some preferred vendors to cover this stuff for us so we don't have to hire part-time people and stuff like that. Any thoughts on that?
Let me clarify. I wasn't clear. The part-time seasonal request would be to manage the property maintenance complaints, not to actually bring the property into compliance with county code. So, in other words, they're not cutting the grass. They're not hauling away the debris.
Well, we do. Our engineering department does go and cut some of our spots, don't they, nowadays, or do we?
They do, as well as some of our other departments, such as our communications department with our towers. But for the majority of our property maintenance that's driven through Constable,
we don't do it.
No, we do not have a fleet of grass cutters.
Through all county government, wherever we need to cut grass, there's a lot of guys out there with a lot of equipment. I'd rather have them the responsibility of taking their equipment and hiring the people to cut the grass. And it's a seasonal thing, and it might be something to look at. The public safety on local law enforcement. What? How much did we give them this year for all the local?
$25,000
each. Was that each?
Everybody. Every police department.
Each of them.
Every town.
$27,000.
No, it's $25,000 for the ones that have a full local law enforcement, and then we'll still give half to the ones that do not have local law enforcement that have their security.
To Bethel, to Hamilton Acres, to Millville, and whatever.
Slaughter Beach.
Just another, I mean, what comes to my mind is, again, different towns are size-wise and everything else have different needs, and maybe we might want to start looking at that if there's another formula we could use so that towns, especially in the seasonal area in the beach, you know, the impact on their services in the summer are much greater than, say, you know, Blades or Seaford or Bridgeville or something like that. Just a thought. And what are we getting this year for this with the state police contract? Kind of run me down. How many troopers are we paying for? What was the? Because I didn't miss the budget thing. I was out of town. But
so sure 44. Is. There's no change in what we have been okay. given, but it's the 44.
All right, that's all.
Just an increase in the contract with the state.
That increase, but we're still
$117,000.
And assisting with funding 44 additional troopers for this county.
That's correct.
I think where I made my mistake. Vice
Council, Mr. Wilson.
I think where I made my mistake was when I said 27. That was $2.7 million going to law enforcement.
Well, that might be. Yeah.
That's correct.
I didn't mean. I'm sorry. We're talking about thousands, but I actually meant millions.
Any more questions to council?
Yes, Mr. President. If I may, a couple comments / questions, and I just want to continue to commend you and your entire staff, because I think it's very relevant that our staff overall as a county is down, per this presentation, 10% since 2009. However, what was not in there is the increase of our population. I think, again, adds a whole nother element to this, because our population has grown. I don't know what it has grown. Perhaps somebody in this room would know, since 2009. But not only is our staff down 10%, but our population has increased greatly. So I truly want to commend you. I think all governments should look at you and look at us as perhaps an example to how to run a government. I think it's amazing, really. The efficiency, I think, that this that you guys do. So I want to commend you for that. Continued increase in public safety, 57%. I think last year, this current year we're in, it was 54%, if I recall.
It was 54, it was 3 cents.
Yep. So again, I think a continued emphasis on public safety is most important of any elected body. So I just appreciate you guys continue. And can you talk about briefly, because I didn't see it in here. I believe it's in the numbers somewhere, but our bringing up to our speed our vehicles, you know, that the county employees staff has. Can you address that real quick?
Yes. So there's a couple of ways to analyze that. There was a number, approximately 12 vehicles requested by department heads this year in the budget, which we did approve. And you have to remember there's also two pots of money that we're dealing with here, the general fund vehicles and then the enterprise fund vehicles, which funds all of our wastewater and water vehicle fleet, which is significant. And what we are going to do is go through an RFP process. It's actually being written currently so that we can put an RFP out and solicit bids for a large purchase of vehicles to replace a significant number of vehicles. We're anticipating to purchase 12 in the budget and then perhaps as many as 20 to 30 more vehicles after that to really work on our fleet maintenance and upgrading a lot of the vehicles which we deem to be unfit or perhaps unsafe at the current conditions for our staff to be using.
Well, I think that's very relevant to ensure that our staff, as you know, we've had this discussion, you know, make sure that they're properly equipped to do their job safely. And so I know that I appreciate the focus on the employees and the staff to be able to ensure that they have the proper vehicles to do their job properly. So I just want to thank you guys again.
If I can, the county council invested in a software program last year called Dossier, where we now have every vehicle in the county on this system, which we are able to track all the maintenance and costs associated with each individual vehicle, miles driven, gas consumption, and then the overall condition of the vehicle. So we have before that, we didn't have as good of data. Now we have very robust data to make the the best decisions on the use of the funding.
Can we put our wives and children on that program?
No.
Any more questions of council?
Well, I'm thinking about the grass. George brought up grass a while ago. I can tell you one thing.
Not the smoking kind.
Actually, grass don't bother me half as bad as I see the junk that's piling along the road. Maybe we ought to spend more time on that instead of worrying about the grass. Grass looks a lot better than all the paper and bedspreads have been thrown out all everywhere. Mattresses, matter of fact, they're thrown everywhere. It's just raunchy, really.
Anything else from council? Thank you all for your hard work and many, 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 many hours past 4:30 to get this budget done. It's again a great budget, very conservative, which it should be, and we thank you very much for all you're doing. Really, thank you.
Thank you very much, and I believe let us return to our seats. We have an ordinance for your consideration.
Yes, you do.
You want to do it here or there?
We can do it right here.
Right there.
So I have two ordinances for the introduction. The one ordinance is an ordinance establishing the annual service charge and annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County Water and Sewer Sanitary Sewer Districts. Okay. And another ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2017.
I'll introduce that one also.
I'll introduce that too.
Okay. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Blossom, you're still up.
Yes.